Welcome to An Amber a Day, the podcast all about functional nutrition for PCOS. I'm Amber Fisher, a certified nutrition specialist and licensed dietitian nutritionist, and I have training in functional medicine. I also have PCOS, and on this podcast, we discuss PCOS in depth, the nutrition strategies for it, as well as the realities of living with it and making this lifestyle work. For further guidance and meal plan support, you can check out the show notes for links to my PCOS courses and programs. And if this podcast helps you, please do me a favor and leave me a review. Thank you so much for being here. Let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to An Amber a Day, the Functional Nutrition Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Fisher, and today I am speaking with my group program co-host, Hannah Mule, who runs the Conscious Nutritionist account. And we're going to talk about some of the most common questions that we get about PCOS, since we're both PCOS expert nutritionists. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Awesome. So I have a list of some questions that her and I are going to just kind of go through, because these are things that we get asked all the time. And we just thought it would be good to go through them and kind of give you guys some answers on them. So I want to ask you, Hannah, first, what is the most common question that you get about PCOS?
Well, I do a lot of like Q&As on Instagram, and I feel like people always ask me, like, there's kind of two iterations of it. It's either, where do I start? I'm so overwhelmed. Or like, what's the one thing I should do? It's either one of those. And it's tricky because both of those are difficult to answer, because there is not really only one thing to do, right? And where should I start is a little tricky too, because it depends on where you're at. So those are probably the two most common questions.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty on par with me. I think probably just based off of the content that I'm doing right now, which is like a little bit of a series on root causes and things like that, the question that I get the most is like, well, what if I have symptoms from all three root causes? Like, where do I start? How do I figure out what my type is? And I think the biggest thing for that, like, well, I want to ask you what your answer to those questions would maybe be. But for me, it has a lot to do with, like, first we have to sort of cut through all the noise. Like, I think the whole typing conversation can get a little bit, you can get in the weeds a little bit. Like, if you're not following the basics of a PCOS healthy lifestyle first, you're not going to be able to delve deeper into the kind of the root cause issues. And I find that sometimes when we just implement, you know, a healthy basic protocol, it clears the air quite a bit and we can figure out where to go from there. So what would you say when, if somebody said, like, cause I know it's tough, you don't know where they're starting from, but what would your answer be?
Yeah. So I feel the same. I actually feel like the typing gets people more tripped up than it should. Because to be honest, there's like, I think of kind of three or four of the main things that are at play with PCOS being insulin resistance, inflammation, adrenals, and then I always think of like the home environment and the, you know, endocrine disruptors and stuff like that. But like for the most part, and this is something you and I talk a lot about in our program, what works for one often works for others, right? So eating for your blood sugar and making sure you're not having huge spikes and crashes in your blood sugar is great for insulin resistance, but it's also good for your adrenals and your stress hormone response. And eating a diet that has a lot of fiber-rich foods, omega-3s, leafy greens, berries, also great for insulin resistance, is also great for inflammation. So although like that data is interesting and can help us, you know, really get into the nitty gritty of what we're going to do with supplements and things of that nature, the actual like where to start and what to do is not that hard if you pull out a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think one of the struggles that I have as an educator is that I want to get across to people, I want to validate for them, I guess, the complexity of the condition, because it is a chronic health condition and it is much more complex than I think it's given credit for in like conventional circles. Like a lot of people just kind of throw it off on. It's all insulin. Or if you even get that, a lot of people just get like, we'll just lose weight. So it's more complex than that. And I want to validate that for people. At the same time, I think it's very tempting to like dive too deep too soon without actually mastering, you know, like if you don't have balanced blood sugar, if you aren't getting good sleep, if, you know, everything's out of whack with you're not eating enough fiber, all that kind of stuff, you're really not going to be able to get much further, no matter how many like specialized supplements and things that you take. So to your point about our group, I think one of the cool things about the program itself is that we help walk you through the basics and get you on like a steady footing, because it's a 12-week program. So like you're with us for a long time. So we start with all that stuff, but then we do dive deep on each of the root issues, so that if you have complex stuff that the basics is not mastering, you can learn how to manage that and go deeper with that. And so I think it's really the best of both worlds, while at the same time having that objective eye. You get the one-on-one sessions with us, so like we help you not like get lost in the weeds too much, which is really
yeah 100%.
Okay, what do you think makes PCOS so complex as a condition? Like, what do you think is the hardest thing to manage about it?
Yeah. Well, from a provider standpoint, what's complex is that there's really no one cause, right? We know there's some genetics at play, likely some environmental factors at play, like, you know, some socioeconomic factors, childhood stress. So there's not like, oh, this is the answer, here's the fix. So from a provider standpoint, that's it. And on the flip side, that's also what's difficult about it being the patient, because it feels like you can't get your grips on what you need to do and what the best thing to do is. And I think that for people, there's a lot of noise out there, and it's hard to feel like you know what you're doing is good for your body. I think what else is really hard is, how do I know if this is working, right? And you and I talk a lot about this in the program. There isn't one test like the PCOS lab that tells you like, oh, you're good, everything's perfect now, right? So it can be really frustrating for people, especially if they're looking for data on like, is this diet working for me? You know, what you and I both would say is like, are your periods more regular? How's your weight doing? How do you feel? How are you sleeping? You know, those are, how's your skin look? How's your hair? You know, how are your symptoms doing? But that can be frustrating for people, because there really is no one like, oh, this is the test to tell us that everything's going the direction it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a big thing for people is the temptation to want to give your power away and your agency away a little bit. You want somebody to come in, read your labs, tell you exactly what's going on and exactly what you need to do to fix it. And that really takes away your own ability, because you do have this ability to read your body, read your symptoms, listen to your intuition and your gut. Course labs and having a good healthcare provider are all really important, but your own experience of your PCOS and what you know feels good and works for you is really important. And in some cases, like we've talked about this before with people that we've worked with, everything looks normal on paper, but the lived experience of it is not normal. I see that a lot of times with like insulin resistance, especially in the early stages. So I feel like, that's part of what makes it so complex, is because it is, you know, it is a chronic health condition. It does have multiple root, I call them root drivers, right? So like places where things stem from that cause symptoms. But like you said, we don't really know the true root cause of PCOS. Like nobody can point to, you know, a little piece of the genetic code and say like, this is the gene that causes PCOS, right?
Right.
But we know that that's probably part of it. So it's, I think that's what's so frustrating about it, as from the lived experience of it, because you and I both have PCOS ourselves, but then also as practitioners, it can be tough. What have you seen work best for managing PCOS when people are like first getting started? Like what's one piece of advice you would give them just off
the
get-go?
Yeah. So the first thing I would probably say to anybody, and this is what we kind of focus on first and foremost in the program, is learning how to make your PCOS plate. Focusing a lot on protein-rich foods and high fiber carbohydrates. So kind of swapping out some of the carbohydrates that are lower in fiber, like white pasta, white rice, for potentially higher fiber carbohydrates, or, you know, non-starchy vegetables, getting enough fiber in and healthy fats. That's like the basis of what we talk about in the functional PCOS program. But the nitty gritty on how to get into that is, you know, takes a little bit of time. But if people were looking for like one piece of advice, that would probably be it. Try and get, you know, 20 grams of protein per meal and, you know, at least 35 grams of fiber per day. That would probably be like the elevator speech of things to do. And then if I was walking out of the elevator, I would say, oh yeah, and please watch your stress, get enough sleep, and stop using so much plastic in your house. Yeah. that would be the like elevator speech.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that comes back to like PCOS being a complex condition, because it's we want to have a quick, easy answer to it. Like, people really do want you to just kind of tell them like, this is exactly what you need to do and it'll all be fine. But because we're all dealing with so many different iterations of PCOS that are coming from different areas, there's just a lot more to it than like, oh, do this, mm-hmm. do that. But I think if I were asked the same question, I would probably agree with you for the most part. Like, we would have a very similar perspective on it. I do think the protein thing is probably the biggest recommendation I give, like right at the beginning, because fundamentally, if your like blood sugar is out of balance, you're going to struggle with energy, you're going to struggle with sleep. And I think if you're not getting good quality sleep, like that's kind of the foundation of all health. Like, I almost think that sleep is more important than anything else. So blood sugar balance is probably the quickest way to hack sleep issues for most people. So protein will do that, right? Like, it'll satiate you. And if you're aiming to get that fiber goal from whole foods, ideally, not from like fiber supplements and stuff, although those aren't horrible if you need to bridge a gap. But like, if you're doing that, it kind of pushes other things out of the diet by extension, mm-hmm. right? Because you're too full to load up on sugar, or, you know, you can't get 35 grams of fiber eating at McDonald's every day. So you mm-hmm. kind of like, by extension, it helps you get to a place. So I always say the protein thing, and then I tell people to just like, 80% of the time, try to work towards a whole foods diet. Like, I kind of don't care how many carbs you're eating, you know, that kind of stuff at the beginning. Cause I think most people who are eating a standard American diet, just switching to eating and cooking at home, like, is going to make a huge difference mm-hmm. In how they feel and in their symptoms. And then from there, we can like hack a little bit further. But again,
yeah,
it does depend where you're coming from, because we work with people who, like, we've had people join the group who are truly at the beginning, like they've never touched
right.
like eating healthy before. And then we have people who have been like around the block for a long time trying to work on their PCOS, and they have all this like background research and knowledge that they're trying to like synthesize. So depending on where you're coming from, you know, there are more specifics that one can get into, mm-hmm. which I think is why it's great that we have like one-on-one sessions, because we can help you do that. But yeah, do you have anything to add on that? I feel like were you going to say something or?
No, I think that perfectly covers it.
Yeah. So where do you think folks with PCOS could use more education? Like, mm-hmm. we're missing in that regard?
That's a good one. I think like a couple of things. I think lightly, obviously nobody needs to become like, you know, a scientist, but having a light understanding of the actual pathophysiology of what is causing the PCOS symptoms really helps, because then it can help you break down claims you see on the internet. So if you really understand, why is my elevated blood sugar leading to hair on my face? Or why is my stress and sleepless night and blue lights in my bedroom leading to my periods being like, you know, 60 days apart? Understanding that physiology a little bit, like I said, you don't have to, you know, go teach graduate biology in it, but understanding a little bit helps you understand why you might see a TikTok, someone say, this hack changed my life. And you can say, okay, that probably didn't change their life. That, you know, whatever they were doing might have helped their blood sugar, which helped lower their circulating testosterone levels, which is causing my hair loss and my acne, right? So understanding that a little bit, but that's hard to do on social media. I mean, it's hard to capture the attention in a reel on, you know, this is exactly why this is happening. This is something you and I put in the program on purpose. It's not too physiology heavy, but understanding why these things are happening in PCOS, why the periods are long, why there's hair loss in the scalp and body hair, can help you kind of connect the action steps to reverse it, which can help with consistency, but also can help you, like I said, file through all the claims that you see on the internet to kind of help you get less overwhelmed.
No, I really like that. I remember when I was first diagnosed with PCOS and just trying to like parse through whatever information there was back then. This was like 2012, so there was really not that much. But like, I just thought it was my ovaries. Like everything happened with my ovaries and they were just like messed up. You know, they just like decided to not work. And I do think a lot of people still think that. And so, and if their blood work, going back to that discussion, doesn't say specifically like you have prediabetes, people don't make the connection that like, well, insulin is a hormone, right? And so it's part of what breaks down eventually or what cascades into our ovarian hormones and all of the symptoms that we get with PCOS. Mm-hmm. So if our insulin is out of balance, then it raises testosterone levels in our ovary, or it raises like LH levels, right? And so there are lots of different things that could be going on, and there's probably more than one thing going on. But it doesn't just originate in your hormones. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we go over like each week into different areas of how PCOS is like driven, how your symptoms are driven by different areas of your body. Because it's really just not all your hormones. Like your hormones are just, they're just signalers. They're just like kind of showing you that there's a problem. It's not really them that's the problem, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of feeds into the next question, actually, which is like, where do you see the most misinformation online?
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Yeah. I think, I honestly don't think like there is a lot of, I think it's just a lot of confusing information on as what is the most important. Cause I think a lot of people have a general like right idea. And something we talk a lot about in the program is, do you really need to go gluten and dairy free? What to look for in your symptoms? If that might be something that's worthwhile for you, kind of parsing through those claims. I guess that's probably the most like typical claim that's not necessarily 100% true. I think what gets confusing for people is just like the nature in which content has to be portrayed in a reel or a TikTok to go viral. Like if you do this, all your symptoms will be worse, right? And it makes it much more confusing when it's actually all this stuff is quite nuanced, right? Like I, you know, something we had a discussion about in the group last week was fasted workouts. And I think it's a little bit more nuanced than a yes and no answer, right? Like when are you going to eat after? How long is the fasted workout? How many times a week are you doing it? What's your underlying stress look like? How much coffee do you drink? How much sleep are you getting before that? Like there's so many other factors, but a reel or a TikTok, as someone who makes reels on TikTok, is like you have to almost be like bombastic in order for it to get views. So I think that's one of the main issues.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I mean, I hear complaints from people often about there's so much misinformation online. I guess, you know, to an extent, I would agree with that. Like when we're talking, there are levels of the information you receive. So if you're getting information from licensed professionals like us, and there are lots of us out there, I think in general, most of us are trying to convey very similar information. We just have different mm-hmm. styles or different methods for doing that. And what happens as you... This is like a little bit from the creator perspective, right? What happens as you grow an account as a creator and you want to reach the most people possible to help the most people possible is you end up having to, like synthesize the information a little bit more for people or simplify it, I guess is what I'm mm-hmm. saying, and make it a little bit more easy to digest, make it a little bit shorter because this is the way that the algorithms work. Right. And so these sort of nuanced conversations, when we portray them in a nuanced conversational way, they don't really go anywhere. Now,
right.
when I both still make content like that, because I think it's important for people to still see that. But if we want to, you know, grow as creators, make money the way that we make money, all that kind of stuff, we can't always do that. And I think that's the case for a lot of these people who are, they really genuinely care and they want you to have good quality information, but they're just trying to get it across to you in a way that's understandable for the most people possible. So that's why if it's at all possible for you to work one-on-one with somebody or to do like a group program like we have where you have like small group and you have like one-on-one support, even to do like a course or something like that, it can help you a lot because you'll have all that information just 1, 2, 3 for you rather than having to like parse it together from all different people. On the other hand, there are a lot of unlicensed people out there saying some really interesting stuff. So most of the stuff that I see in that respect is like around like miracle supplements and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I mean, in general, if something feels too good to be true, it probably is. Like,
yeah,
you know, yeah. PCOS is a exactly. complex health condition. Like, it's going to require nutrition change. It's going to require lifestyle change, and it's going to require time. There are yeah. supplements that help, but there's nothing that's like a miracle cure. If there was, like, it would have a prescription label on it, and like we would all be
exactly.
taking, you know?
I always say, if things worked well enough, the prescription companies would patent them and make it a drug for that they could right,
exactly
you know, make
like
money
the,
off.
The FDA so. Would be like, you can't sell this as a supplement anymore.
Exactly.
And that happens sometimes. I mean, there was some talk about doing that with NAC, not
yeah,
for PCOS,
exactly.
but for like
yeah,
post-COVID stuff. So yeah, I agree with you on that. And to the gluten and dairy thing, I mean, you know, that's just as nuanced as anything else, right? It's like, so you'll see people saying you have to go gluten and dairy free. And then you'll see people saying you never have to avoid any food with PCOS. And I'm like, well,
right.
the truth is like in the middle, right? Like
exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So do you have any, speaking of supplements, do you have any supplements that you like to use regularly? I know not everything is right for everyone, but are there ones that are kind of like go-tos for you or maybe in your own personal journey?
Yeah. And this is also like just to loop to the program, Amber and I do meet with everyone one-on-one and we have come up with sort of like, bundles of recommended supplements for certain issues. And we go about that on purpose because there are some great supplements out there, but they're not all necessary for everybody. I am a big fan of the inositols. I think they have a, you know, pretty strong data behind them. And I know you are too. So that's something that we recommend often for people that are struggling with insulin related issues. We're also both big fans of N-acetylcysteine, which has a lot of shown benefits for insulin resistance, but also inflammation and egg quality. And there's a decent amount of studies where it's combined with kind of some of the traditional fertility meds, and it helps like increase outcomes. But it's not just a fertility med, you know, there's also some hair loss or facial hair studies and things of that nature. So those are probably my favorite. I always like to make sure people's vitamin D is where it needs to be, that their having bowel movements every day. So maybe utilizing like a spore-based probiotic for bowel movements. I like magnesium, not always only for PCOS, just, you know, that can also help for bowel movements and sleep if that's not where it needs to be. Those would probably be my most utilized.
I would agree with that. I think probably my number one thing that I work on first with most of my clients or like that I talk, I cover this topic in I think week three, but it's gut health. So like, I'm big on the fact that you can't make too many changes that are actually going to make a difference unless your gut is in a good spot, because your gut is like one of the main places where you excrete. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if your liver, your gut, all that is kind of out of balance, which we know is common in PCOS, then you are going to struggle a bit, especially taking a lot of supplements and things like that. So I always work on the digestion really early on, even sometimes before like insulin and stuff like that, depending on the person. At least that's what I like to do. So, you know, Hannah and I have like very similar approaches, which I think makes us great co-hosts, because we just sort of like, you know, we kind of agree with each other in a lot of ways. And so we both use very similar supplements. When it comes to digging deeper on the root issues, of course, there are other things that can be beneficial. Like I often will use like alpha lipoic acid. And when we've got like an inflammation and insulin resistance sort of combo, I'll use ashwagandha and rhodiola when we've got some adrenal stuff going on. But those are things that would really be person to person, because not everyone with PCOS is going to benefit from those mm-hmm. things. So yeah, I definitely agree with you. Well, I think, is there anything that you would like to add to this
discussion? No, I think that, you know, PCOS is really complex. And the reason you and I made this, the functional PCOS group program is to create a combination of sort of one-on-one work and a group setting where you could kind of get into the nitty-gritty of these things, but also figure out actionably how to take steps forward. Because I think that's where a lot of people get stuck. There's kind of two steps. One, it's like really not knowing what to do and, you know, needing help there. And then the second subset of person knows what to do, but they really can't figure out how to practically put it into their life. So we aim to address both those things when we're working with clients, because that's how you get to kind of that like elusive, you know, long-term healthy situation. So that's what we aimed to get out of making that program. And that's what's, if you're not able to do something like that with us, which is, you know, totally fine, that's what I think is something to look at for yourself. Okay, what do I need to do? And then how do I practically like use a SMART goal, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely, fit this into what my life looks like right now?
Yeah. I would say that my best advice, if you're feeling overwhelmed, is just to pick one thing, like one, you know, like maybe the protein thing, right? Like that's a good place to start, and really work on mastering that. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like you have like 80 to 90% mastery of that, then you can add another thing. I think it's easier to do more when you have a guide, when you have somebody to walk you through how to do that and what that looks like. Whereas doing it on your own is of course more difficult, because you're not a PCOS expert nutritionist. Right. You didn't go to school for that. And that's okay. Like you have your own life. Like you shouldn't have right. to get a full degree to like hack your PCOS, you know? So it's okay to just do like a little bit at a time. And I think you'll get more long-term benefit from that than from like taking this and taking that and trying this and trying that and yes. not really sticking with anything. Like in general, 100%. Health changes are going to take at least like probably 3 months to really, you know, show themselves to have made a benefit for you.
Yes. So 100%.
But yeah. And we cram a lot into the 12 weeks because we want you, because you have us during that 12 weeks. Like you have unlimited like question and answer support. Like we have like a group chat and people ask questions as they come through to them and all that. And so while you have us during that time, we take you through all of the information so that you not only can start making practical, actionable changes right now, but so that also as time goes on and you're able to synthesize the information, you can kind of come back to it. You can dig deeper, like on your own, all that kind of stuff. So you have the benefit of both worlds, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I don't think you ever, like, I don't think there's another, I mean, I don't know, but I don't think there's another group out there that goes over in as much depth as we do some of these topics for sure. Cause this is like a functional nutrition approach to PCOS, which is not as common of a thing. So
yeah,
but maybe we should talk through just like some of the things that are included in case anybody listening is like interested. We do, I want to mention that we have a special podcast discount code for my podcast listeners, because I know you guys are the best. So I wanted to make a special $150 off discount code, and it's podcast150. You'll find that in the description box. So if you want to, you know, join us, Hannah, what are the dates? When are we starting our spring cohort?
So this group launches at the end of April, but the first session is April 27th. So you pretty much, our group kind of starts the 23rd, but the first session is Thursday, April 27th. The sessions are Thursday evenings on Zoom, but you don't have to participate that way. They're all recorded and put on the kind of web hosting site. So if you are like, I want to spend my evenings with my family, that's totally fine. I think it's beneficial to come sometimes just to meet everybody, but they are recorded. There is a private group chat. There is, like I said, 2 one-on-one sessions with myself and Amber, 12 weeks of meal plans. You know, we have guests
with those meal plans and recipes for each of the things.
Yeah.
It's not just like, you know, make this with that and this. It's like an actual recipe. So if you really struggle with like putting stuff together, we'll do that for you. But also, we go over like the PCOS plate and how to design your own meals. So we've got people in the group who will follow the meal plans religiously. We have people who like modify them. And then we have people who kind of do their own thing based on what they learn in the program. So however you decide to do the food piece of it, you have support. We have some great guest speakers. Like we have Dora, who is a fertility expert. She comes on and talks to us about specifically about like fertility for PCOS. And so if you're trying to conceive or you've had issues in that respect, everything that we talk about in the program is going to be helpful for fertility, just because PCOS and your menstrual cycles are so connected. And of course your menstrual cycles are connected to fertility, but there are some specific like food and supplement recommendations that she'll go over. And we also have Jen, who does an incredible stress reduction week, where she teaches us some like different breathing exercises and other stress reducing modalities that can help us. And she, you know, she has a master's degree in mind body wellness. And so she's an expert on that. So we let the experts sort of
fill
certain areas. And yeah, as far as like the weekly meetings, we love when everybody is there and able to be there. But also, like Hannah said, you can watch the recordings. And we have many people who are outside of our time zones who do just that. They, you know, they're in the UK or they're somewhere else. And so they can't listen live, but they listen later. And all of the course materials you have access to for at least a year. You know, we've said we're keeping them up for a year. Probably it'll be a little bit longer, but that's the official timeline. So you have time to go through all of this too. So yeah, I think that's it. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. So we'd love to have some of you guys, but of course, you know, follow both of us on socials for plenty of free content. If not, that's totally, totally okay.
We understand that doing something like this is not like feasible in the budget for some people, or it's not right for you right now. We hope you'll think of us later if we run it again. But like, we get it. Trust us. We want to make sure that you know that it's available and that it's an option for you, because we're really proud of it. And we think it's a really great group program. And yeah, so I'd love to have some of my podcast listeners there. So if you have any questions for either of us, feel free to reach out to us. I will put my email address, and you can also just like DM us on Instagram. That's probably the best way to reach us, right, Hannah? Or do you have another place? And I will put both of our handles in the description box, but Hannah is at The Conscious Nutritionist on both TikTok and Instagram. Are you anywhere else, Hannah?
Pinterest, but it's the same stuff as TikTok Pinterest? And Instagram.
I've been like, should I get into Pinterest? I don't know.
Yeah, a lot. Sometimes I just put the videos up on Pinterest and sometimes I get like a lot of views, but I don't go on there very much. So I need to update it, but I'll put like a 20 up at one time.
Oh yeah. That's kind of what I've been doing that on some other little apps just to kind of like, just in case TikTok gets banned. Mm-hmm. But anyway, thank you guys for listening. And we will talk to you soon. Have a great week.
Bye. Have a great week.
If you learned something today or you enjoyed today's episode or both, I'd love it if you would leave me an iTunes review and share this with a friend. If this brought up a question for you that you would like to hear me answer, there is a Google form that you can use to ask me any question you want, and I might answer it here on the podcast. I do it all the time, and I would love to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening. See you next time.